Easter has always meant a special time for me. Because the day I went to church to see Sonny baptized in water, my wife had already given her heart to the Lord a week before that. My two brothers took her out from under me when I passed out from a party, 4th of July party. When I woke up from that condition I was in, don't ask me how, but I knew the Lord's voice. And He spoke to me and said that your wife now belongs to me. I was so mad. Jumped up out of that bed and ran on into the living room where the party was. And she comes walking in the door with my two brothers. They'd been to church. She'd given her heart to the Lord. She hasn't looked back yet. The reason July 11th is so important to me, it's because that day when I went to watch Sonny baptized in water, I noticed a glow about her that I normally did not see in people. And so she was baptized, and I didn't understand it at that time. But the reason the message was so powerful to me, it was not an Easter day that I got saved because of July 11th. But it was an Easter message that caused me to give my heart to the Lord Jesus, because the minister preached on resurrection. And I'm telling you, I couldn't even hardly sit in my seat. God was dealing with me so much. Didn't want to give up anything. Just something in our nature, you know, that we want to hold on to everything that has no light. Now, if somebody got a hold of us and said, why don't you grab a hold of a bunch of darkness and hold on to it? We'd look at them like they're crazy. But when Jesus comes, He comes to offer us light so that we'll never stumble again. A lot of people don't understand the cross. Never will get to understand the cross. What a shame, because the cross resembles their freedom. I'll never forget Job in Job 9:33, where he said, is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both? Is there any mediator that would lay his hand on mankind? And is there any mediator that would lay his hand on God and bring the two impossibilities together? But Jesus did. He did that. And whoever denies that wonderful work is denying themselves out of an eternal existence apart from Him. When I first got saved, I had shared just previously that the first few years of my walk with the Lord was not a life that understood crucifixion. And so Jesus was not my Lord, He was my Savior. But God has a way of working His kingdom into our heart in such a way that you surrender more of yourself. And it's a process and it takes time. And thank God for His love, His mercy, and His grace. Because He's given me the time to grow and enjoy the wonderful fruits of my redemption. I was reading an article that caught my attention, and it said this. It was an excerpt that came out of Jesus' time period. Just a little excerpt. And it wasn't written necessarily by believers. We don't know who it was written by, but it was etched in records forever. And here's what it had to say about the Roman cross. The cross is a symbol of death. It stands for the abrupt, violent end of a human being. The man in Roman times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends and loved ones. He was not coming back. He was going out to have it all ended. The cross made no compromise, modified nothing, spared nothing. It slew all of the man completely and for good. It did not try to keep on good grounds or on good terms with its victim. It struck cruel and hard. And when it had finished its work, the man was no more. I don't know what to really say about the wonderful things that God has done for us. You can't find enough words to describe the love that God has for humanity. The further I walk with my Lord, the more precious His salvation means to me. I can remember the times that I walk with the Lord, always with this feeling that I don't know if I can do it within myself. It was always like I was walking on this fence and I could fall either way. But when He became my Lord, there was no more fence. I had fallen on His side. And no one could ever take Him out of my life. Somebody said, "Do you believe in eternal security?" I like what Kenneth Copeland answered on that. I wish I'd have said it. He said, "I don't know. I never wanted out." If you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, oh, people, I tell you, just give your all, give your whole self to Him, and He'll prove Himself big in your heart. He will every time. The walk that I've had with God many times along the way, I knew His grace was with me, and I'd stumble and fall, and it just seemed like I wasn't enjoying my salvation like I wanted to. But you know, God has a way of getting into your heart and showing you little things that express His love. It is the love of God that leads men to change. It's the goodness of God. And the more that His love became exalted in my life, the more I wanted to surrender. There's just something about giving your heart to Jesus where He'll take all of it if you let Him. Or you can die and only give a portion of your life to Him. Or you can have a hundredfold return on your walk with Him. The beautiful thing is, it's up to you, not Him. He's already given all that He could give in His fullness for you. You know, it wasn't until, oh, I don't know how many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, God had given me a revelation of the position that my body had been declared on the cross. If a man would take up his cross and follow me. And I didn't really understand that until God gave me a revelation of it. I'll never forget it. I don't know how long it was in prayer, but I was meditating over a vision that I had when I was first saved and couldn't figure out the vision and didn't know the meaning of it. And I'm going to tell you, God will give you little visions, little pictures in your life that will have meaning to you, but you might not understand them at the time He gives them to you, but hang on to them. Because eventually in your walk down the path of time, He'll reveal to you what He was trying to tell you. And I was kneeling down by my bed, and I was praying. And very young in the Lord, maybe, I don't know, maybe a month or two, pretty young in the Lord. How many of you know when you have a baby that's a month or 2 years, a month old or 2 months old, that pretty little baby, you know? And I was praying, and all of a sudden I felt strange. And then I was a little shocked because I saw a vision so clear I didn't know how to comprehend it. And earlier days of my walk with the Lord, I had these higher kind of forms of vision, but didn't know what they meant a lot of times. And as I was sitting there and I looked up, I saw Jesus crystal clear. It looked like this real expensive crystal, all made out of the Lord. And He had His arms stretched out. And as I looked at Him, all of a sudden I began to see His feet from the toes of His feet all the way up till the fullness of His body was red. It turned red. It was like something being poured into a glass that was red. And once it was full, He put His hands right towards me like this. And in the end of His fingers, I saw these little round holes. And out of those holes poured, and I knew it was His blood. And as it was pouring itself down on me, these waves, literal feeling with my body, these waves of power just kept fluctuating on me. And I didn't understand that for a long time. And then finally, over time, the Lord revealed to me that eventually I would see Jesus in His entirety, in the completeness of His redemptive work, in the fullness of His life, because the blood represents His life. And why it came out the end of His fingers, I finally understood. That I would know the purpose of the completed work of Christ because it came out of His hands. I would know the complete work of the Lord. What brought me back to that vision is, about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a Wednesday evening service. It was very different than most. But I had a revelation. When I was praying and preparing for the service, I was pondering what the Lord had shared with me supernaturally about the book of Hebrews. And all of a sudden, I was looking at Jesus on the cross, seeing the fullness of Him on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I couldn't figure out why. And then all of a sudden I saw me looking at it. Looking at it. And I was looking at the cross, and I was confused because this vision was so clear. So crystal clear that it seemed like it was just penetrating. And then all of a sudden, I was not looking up at the cross anymore. I was looking down on the cross. But I was on the other side of it. And it was like I was seated right next to our Heavenly Father. And I was looking down on this cross. As I'm looking down on the cross, from a heavenly position. You know what I saw on that cross? I didn't see it from my position upward. I saw it from God's position downward. And what I saw on the cross was not Jesus. What I saw on the cross was me hanging there, crucified. And I said, God, what does that mean? And He says, as far as I'm concerned, I have poured my wrath out on all mankind. The cross is a symbol of my Son dying for them. But from my vantage point, I literally poured my wrath out upon you. For I am the author and the finisher of your faith. He said, I could not make salvation complete until I could look at the cross and see you crucified on it. Whew. That does a number on your thinking. That does a number on your thinking. But right away, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, any believer who has this form of doctrine that says that God is fed up with sin and so He brings floods and catastrophes and storms to rebel against sin, they don't know the gospel. They don't know that for once and for all, according to eternity past, God poured His wrath out on mankind when you look at the cross and see what Jesus went through. Now to us it grieves us, but to God He was satisfied with the wrath that He had poured out upon mankind through the Son. He offered the perfect sacrifice, the absolute sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice did He offer? People, He offered a sacrifice that was without spot or without wrinkle. He offered the absolute satisfaction of judgment on mankind by pouring it out on us through the Son. See, now I understand the body of flesh and the part of my soul that's carnal. I understand that He had to declare one of them dead so the other one could come to life. When I saw that so clear, just within the last few years, how my soul contains the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And the only way I'll understand the spiritual mind is I have to know what He did with my physical person, the carnal person that I am in. Boy, that does a number on your thinking, because now you begin to see what resurrection was all about. Resurrection means that you are risen to life by being declared physically dead on the cross. You now have a right to come alive spiritually and serve God. And you cannot serve God out of your flesh. That's religion. You have to serve God out of your innermost being. And in order for me to do that, I had to be crucified. Or my body would still tell me what to do. It would still lead me where it wants to go. It would still have its appetites to control me. And so God had to, through His Son, show me a way to completely obliterate and position my outer man in death so I could walk to resurrection life. Woo! No wonder Paul said, I serve God out of my spirit. No wonder Kenneth Hagin said, I serve God with the spirit of faith. I learned real quick that if I was going to become churched, then I would have to give my body a place that it didn't belong. I had to learn that I can't go back to the graveyard and expect anything for my natural man to produce anything that God could receive it. Because then God Himself would have to go to the graveyard to seek you out. And you ain't going to get God to go to the graveyard to seek you out. Why? He died to sin only once. And it was enough for all of us. I love when people have a mouth that doesn't understand redemption and they open it. Because I know Scripture enough now that I quote just Scripture to them. Don't argue with them. I just quote Scripture. And leave it up to them what they're going to do about it. So what did the cross represent? It represented a position that Jesus took that you couldn't. Because you were born into this world through the first Adam. In a fallen condition. The first Adam was made alive in his soul. He had his life out of his spirit until he fell. And I like what John G. Lake said. When Adam and Eve fell, they fell into the flesh. Genesis 6 says that God came down and saw that man had now become one with the body of flesh and he could no longer deal with them as spiritual beings. Why? Because their outer man took over the inner man. And God had to buy man back spiritually. You see, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May the God of peace sanctify you wholly in spirit, in soul, and body." We are a tripart being. Every one of us in this room, the real person that we are, we can't see. All as we can see is the body of flesh. All as we can understand is the carnal mind. But we do not see that the real person that we are is a spirit that is also connected to the soul, as the body is connected to the soul. And we don't realize that if we're not careful in our walk with Him, and we begin to stumble, we can resurrect ourselves back into the same place that we were bought out of, called spirit of bondage. I'm in the process of writing a book right now. And at first I was going to do a little mini book, but God just expanded it. And I'm making it as simple as I can make it to where even a fifth grader could understand the wording in it, because the revelation is so deep. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll do you insight as you've never seen before. And you will see that if you get a hold of the content that's in that book, you'll walk your life out through your spirit. And there won't be excuses for the body of flesh any longer. Hallelujah. 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 Man has tried to express resurrection life, but resurrection life cannot be empowered by the flesh. If you try to live resurrection life through the power of the flesh, then it becomes religion. You have to see yourself as a spiritual being first. Having a soul that connects both body and spirit. That's why the soul is referred to as a joint. It's the meeting place of our mind. And half of our mind is spirit and half of our mind is soul, flesh. And you can't tell the difference between the two except the Word of God be clarified to us to where it can act as a knife and separate the two. The closer I get with God, the harder it is on my flesh. The closer you get with God, the more you'll find how much flesh you have. You want to know why? It says, "For if we suffer with Christ." He wasn't talking about getting on the cross and suffering with Him. We couldn't do that. He wasn't talking about all that He went through. He was talking about Himself denying His right in the position of a flesh man. He denied that position. He suffered in the flesh. That's why so many people can't hold true to Christianity, is because when the closer you get with God, the more you bring an indictment against what you are spiritually. But there's a generation that is going to come up. And we're going to see it in our time. Somebody said, how close is a rapture? God told me, don't look for that. He says, look for the generation that will get a hold of what you're seeing. And they'll be without excuse. And they'll stand up before me. And they'll be into fastings and prayer. He says, not only will they gain great recognition for what they are in the natural, he said they'll also gain great recognition for what they are spiritually. He says that will be obtainable. You'll see it in our generation before we go to be with the Lord or die out. You will see our young people rise up because this knowledge is going to get out. I'm not the only one that's seeing it. God told me there are many believers all over the world starting to see the very thing that I'm seeing. That God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation, not warning. That God is upset at sin. No, the reason men sin is because they like darkness rather than light. But when a man lets God write His word upon the tablets of their heart, their desire will change. And He's doing that. And when you're young in the Lord, you're going to be the first object of His attack because He wants to stop you from getting out of your flesh and getting into the man that you are spiritually. Hallelujah. 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 Right now, this is what I want to do. If you will, real quick, like turn over to Romans. Romans. Chapter 5. I love the book of Romans. We went through the book of Romans 5, 6, and 7, and 8. They all have to be contextually put together, but I want you to notice something in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, go to verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. You want me to give you a paraphrase of this verse? I'm going to give it to you out of the Williams New Testament translation. Because it's easier to understand, but it's correct according to the Greek. Notice this. Now a man will scarcely ever give his life for an upright person. Though once in a while a man is brave enough to die for a generous friend. I'm going to tell you if you go on and read. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when He stood and He was rebuked and criticized and everything in His trial, it said that He could stand that shame in that position against great contradiction of sinners because it said He had a hope that was set before Him, and that hope was you and I coming into the kingdom of God, bearing the fruit while He was given His very life for us. Now this is what I want. I want to point to some young people. I'm going to have them come up. I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right with you guys? I mean, this is important to me. Lindsay and Aaron, come up here. You and your wife, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, come up here. Praise God. Where's Mike and Izzy? Mike and Isabel. Hallelujah. Come up here. Danny. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Any of you other youngsters? Well, it depends on how people view themselves as youngsters. I'll say from the age of 20 on down, come up here. Is that all right to say that? Age of 20 on down, come up here. Ho 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 shkedete. E ha ha neshkedete. O la roto shet raguayambarache. Ambari ambarache kiri handarachela rodos. Dereke and desanamabarate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Church, this is our future church. Church, this is our future church. Hallelujah. And because of resurrection power, you're going to sit where we're now sitting. And you're going to be doing what we're doing. Right? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. For the Lord has great things planned for you too. Great things. But the opportunity is going to come to try and distract you. But the Lord told me that it won't. That you'll draw within the recesses of your heart. And you'll stand up and you'll serve God in a mighty way. So much so that you will be challenged for your commitment to the Lord. But stick most of all to the integrity of your spirit. And everything that you put your hand to, you do it. You do it in honor of the integrity of spirit that Christ will build in you. And don't question God, the desires that are in your heart. Say, God, the desires of my heart, I will let you build an integrity in me to accomplish them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't forget this. Hallelujah. 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 And you know something? I might have said it to just two. But you know what? Every one of you could take that anointing to yourself. But you need to stop thinking down on yourself. You need to start thinking good of yourself. You need to start thinking, though the world wants me to fail, I am young enough to know that within the recesses of my own heart, as a spiritual being before God, I can conquer what God has told me to conquer, and I will not let the image of any man take the place of God, for the image that I want in my heart is Jesus Christ Himself. And then you will find a strength in you you've never known before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to think good about yourself. You've got to think past some mistakes you've made. And you've got to look at what you are in Christ. I'll tell you, I had too much condemnation working in my heart the first few years of my walk with the Lord. And finally the Lord, through one man's ministry, spoke something I never forgot. He said, you cannot go through life to succeed if you're looking in your rearview mirror. Because eventually you'll crash. You've got to look ahead to a world that's very negative, full of doubt. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to cause this young generation, it's going to cause everything within you to reach, claw, scratch, go at it with everything within you to succeed in the Lord. Because there's a lot of people that don't want nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. But you have an eternity. Everyone in this room has an eternal existence. In the end, when we pass the body of flesh, where are we going to go? I'm looking at the future church. And I'm looking at every one of you as having enough strength within you to accomplish what God wants you to. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's get closer together here. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Though the things seem scattered in your life, though the things seemed uprooted, not working, the Lord told me to tell you, you're right on course. You're going to do what God told you to do. You're going to do what God told you to do. Hallelujah. Don't let people influence you that are not of God. Let God be your idol. Let God be your peer pressure. And you will succeed. Do you believe that? You believe that? If you don't believe it, come up here and I'll help you believe it. Let's all pray. Father, oh my. There are several of you going to rise up. Several of you are going to rise up in this crowd with the miracle power of God working in your heart and life. I sense it in my spirit. Hallelujah. 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 You right there, I don't know your name. Huh? Sabrina, come here, honey. The Lord has a word for you. Honey, don't allow yourself to be sidetracked. Stick true to the Lord. Don't allow yourself to be pulled off the side. For Satan would love to get you off. Don't allow him to have that place. And besides, God's given an intercessor just for you. Are you guys ready? Let's pray. And I want you to do it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for resurrection life. I thank you as a young person having the right to know salvation. I could have been raised totally ignorant of salvation that comes through Jesus. I stand my ground and I will grow in the Lord and bring many with me into eternity in Jesus' name. And I will not view myself as a failure in the Lord, but view myself having the ability of Christ in me, the hope of that glory. Amen. Okay. Okay, younger generation. Good to see you, Tristan. Okay, you younger generation. Go get them. I love the young people, don't you? I love the young people, don't you? Hallelujah. 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 Young people, one last thing. Pray. Pray. Pray in tongues. Pray in your natural understanding. Pray any way you can pray. God honors that. Everybody stand up. Oh, wait a minute. Please sit down. I'm sorry. We know we have some visitors this morning, so if you'll raise your hands, we'd like to give you some information. So, visitors, get your hands up if you're just visiting. We have some information we can give you. Praise God. Yes, don't be ashamed. Just lift your hands. Good information. Good. What do you want, Mike? Hallelujah. Did you write a poem? Did you? Oh, okay. Come up and share it because you have to have the mic, Mike.
Thank you, Pastor. While you guys are doing praise and worship, I wrote this down real quick. And I like it, so I know you'll like it. So bear with me. I'm trying not to. I get nervous when I come up here and do this real quick when I write them this quick. So just bear with me. What?
Get a hold of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Love you. On this day it was given, I, the Lord Jesus, has risen, that you may behold the vision. And for that reason I laid my life down. Into the earth I went, bound that you could be found, no longer led astray by the darkness this day. For your debt I paid without further delay. I rose from the grave, yes, on this day. It was paid. Yes, stand up and be brave. I have risen. You see now the vision. Call my name, for I have taken your pain. I wrote down your name in my book. So now I sit at the right hand, for every man, woman, and child can receive the vision God put in plan, salvation for every man.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Hey, Mike, you know what you ought to do? Write that down on another sheet of paper, put the date on it, Easter Sunday. And anybody wants a copy of it can just... Huh? What book? Oh, the book you're putting together? But can they get a copy of that? Oh, the boss said yes. Okay, praise the Lord. Did everyone get a visitor's packet? Praise God. Okay, with that said, you can rise. Rise up. Praise the Lord. Now, are you guys going to have a good Easter dinner? You're going to go and preach to them relatives and friends and neighbors and get them all saved. And if they're saved, get them more turned on to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I thank you guys for giving a little more into the carpet. I want to say one thing before I pray in closing. I just want to say that I repent. Me and the church repent in not getting you more involved in the choosing of the colors in the carpet. Now, I'm serious about that because we got to thinking back, you know, and we've got some pretty negative feedback. And rather than taking a look at a negative feedback, we decided to take a look at it positive from your side. And we really feel that we did you wrong by not including you into the choosing and selecting of the carpeting and the colors. Huh?
Anything's better than pink.
My daughter said anything's better than pink. Well, on a major renovation as this, we should have included you more. We really feel that. And we could have picked, you know, two or three colors. And whatever the one you chose would have been all right with us because we would have picked two or three colors we like. Just kidding. But I just wanted to let you guys know that we are sorry that we didn't have you more involved. We still need your much money as you can to raise to pay this off. Praise God. But I felt that was warranted to ask you to forgive us for that. Amen. I'm serious. It's not a joke. Hallelujah. I'm very serious about something this major. And asking you guys to pay for something that we didn't include you in on, it's not right. So forgive us. We're just not a congregational leading body, and so those kind of things slip our mind, but on major costs and major things like this, we do need to include you. So forgive us. Hallelujah. Father, as we now close this service, Father, I hope that this Easter morning service blessed your people. I pray that, Father, that your young people will become that generation that we so desperately need. And Father, may they be blessed in their walk with Jesus. May everyone here be blessed. And if you're here this morning and have never given your heart and life to Jesus and would like to, we're going to have you come forward. We want to pray with you. Maybe you've given your heart and life to Jesus but been out of fellowship for a season. We'd like to restore that place with you. We would love to pray with you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, speaking in that beautiful language He gives everyone who's born again, we'll lay hands on you and the Holy Spirit will fill you full. And if you need prayer for whatever, physical healing, mental healing, whatever it is you need, we would love to pray with you. That having been said, with every head bowed, every eye closed, in reverence to the wonderful people that need to respond to this altar, if you're here for salvation, restoration, and filling of the Spirit, physical healing, would you step out now and come forward, anybody? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Again, we don't have a service this evening, but it's Easter, and you need to be with your family. Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 Okay, Father, we thank you for your beautiful people. And as they go their way this Easter Sunday, may they have a victorious day.